The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Vo'era, but I would like to take the liberty to dwell on Parashas Shmos, since this is the beginning of the second Sefer, the new Sefer that we are now learning. Sefer Shmos is set aside for the fulfillment of a prophecy which was given to Avraham Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Tes Vav, Posuk Yud Gimel, Vayemel Avraham, and Hashem said to Avraham, Yodoa Teida Ki Ger Yazaacho Be'eres Leilohem. You shall surely know that your children will be strangers in a land which is not theirs, va'avodum v'inu oisom, and there they will be enslaved and afflicted, arba me'a shona, 400 years. V'gam esagoy asher yavodu, don anechi. But also this nation that will do this to you, I shall judge, I shall punish. Ya'achreichein yetzu berchush gadol, then your children will go out with a great wealth. Now here, the Golus Mitzrayim, the exile to Egypt, the Shibun Mitzrayim, the enslavement, and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, was all prophesied to Avraham. And there were three degrees that had to do with the going into Egypt. Firstly, Geria Zaracho, that your children will be aliens. Avodum, they will be enslaved. The Inu Aysom, and they will be afflicted. And then, that nation will be punished. And that was the Eser Makis, which we are learning about now, the 10 plagues. And everything that went with it. And achrechein yetzu berchush gadol, and then they will go out with a great and mighty wealth. This was v'nitzaltem es Mitzrayim, that you will go out, you will empty out Egypt when you leave. Now, in the previous parshas, in Parshas Vayechi, it states Yaakov died. Till then, when Yaakov came down to Egypt, this was in the previous parsha, with the 70 nofesh, with the 70 people of his family, there we saw the fulfillment in totality of the Geria Zaracho, that your seed will be strangers. But things were still good. They were Betuv Eretz Mitzrayim. They lived in the best and fattest place of Egypt, Eretz Goshen. V'anochi achalkel eschem. Joseph was the king. And he said, I will take care of you. And he supported them. So we saw the fulfillment of the first degree, but it was still at a good level. But when Yaakov died, states then that Tzoras started. Rashi tells us this in the beginning of Vayechi. And here in Parshas Shmos, it states, Vayomosh Yosef v'chol echov. Yosef died together with all of his brethren, v'chol hadorahu, and the entire generation. And then Vayoko melechodosh, there was a new king. Either it was the same king, the Gemara says, that made himself new to the people. He didn't remember all of the good that Yosef did for them, or it was a new king in actuality. And Hova Nischach Malay, he said, let us come and take strategy against the Hebrews, because they are growing and multiplying and becoming so mighty, lest they become stronger than us. Vayasimolov Sorimisim Lamana Nasi Bisivlosam, they enslaved them. This was the second degree. And then Vayimoru Eschayehem, they embittered their life, the Inuosam, and afflicted them. This was the third degree of that prophecy, of the Golus Mitzrayim, the exile in Egypt. Now the Torah tells us Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, this is in Perek Beis of Parshas Shemos, Vayikach es bas Levi. Man came from the house of Levi and he took the daughter of Levi. Medrash tells us this was Amram. Amram was the grandson of Levi, and bas Levi was Yocheved, the daughter of Levi. They actually were married, but they had separated themselves from each other because of Pharaoh's decree that all of the male children of the Hebrews should be killed. But now they decided that this was actually through the intervention of Miriam, of their daughter Miriam, that they should come back together. Vataro isha vatelet bein. And the woman conceived and she gave birth to a son. Vateda esei ki tofu. And they saw that he was good. Vatitzmeneu shleshi rochim. And they concealed him, they hid him for 3 months, as long as they could, in order that the Egyptian soldiers shouldn't find him and kill him. Here we learn about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, one who was to execute the rest of this prophecy, where Klal Yisrael rise up and destroy Egypt, who was the mightiest empire of the time, and he would execute great miracles and signs and wonders by the hand of the Almighty, and he would lead the people out with all of the wealth of Egypt, and he would bring them to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And it was even destined that he should bring them to Eretz Yisrael, but because of the sin of the Mei Meriva, by the striking of the rock, he didn't live to that, to see that. He wasn't given that privilege. This was to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, with the help of Aaron and Miriam. Moshe, on him it's written at the end of the Sefer Torah, Lo kom ol novi bi Yisrael ke Moshe asher yodu Hashem ponim el ponim. That in all of the history of the world, there'll never be another prophet to Israel as great as Moshe. And that knew Hashem face to face. The Sefer Torah, that's his prophecy. He is the one who brought it down. And therefore it's called Zichrei Teiras Moshe Avdi. Torah is called on his name. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on him that Ein Neman B'chol Beisi Ke'Eved Moshe, that there was no one as faithful to me in my entire household as my servant Moshe. See, here was born the greatest prophet and the greatest leader that Israel ever had and that the world ever had. And he was the one who was capable of destroying Egypt and bringing Israel out of Egypt and going up on Har Sinai and bringing down the Torah. When he was born, the Medrash tells us Vatera Isei Ki Tofu. They saw that the child was good. What does this mean? Toni Ramei Reime Teif Shmai. Medrash brings a number of opinions. Rameir says they called him Tov. This was the name they gave him. We know him by Moshe. Moshe is not the name that his father or mother gave him. Moshe is the name that the daughter of Pharaoh gave him. What was the name that the parents gave him? Tov. Good. Reb Yishayo Eimer, Tuvia Shemai, Tuvia Shemai. His name wasn't Tov, his name was Tuvia. Reb Yehuda Eimer, Hogun Lenevius. When they saw that he was good, what did they mean? They could see that he was destined, and he had the potential for becoming a great Novi, a great prophet. Acherim Eimrim, others say, Shenele Kishu Mohul. They saw that he was born circumcised. This is why they said Tov. Rabbonan Amri, the Rabbonan say, that when he was born, the entire house filled with light. Why? Because it states here, they saw he was good. And in the creation of the world, when Hashem created the light, it stares, Hashem saw the light that it was good. So we make an equation, and here and there it refers to light. So we have five opinions. One say, what does it mean, Tov? They saw he was good, they named him Tov. Second opinion, they named him Tuvia. Third opinion, they saw that he was destined for prophecy. Fourth opinion, that he was born circumcised. Fifth of opinion, that the entire house filled with light. All of these opinions, they're all directed to say that Moshe from his very birth had the potential to be someone very, very great. And the parents recognized this. This that they called him Tov. Tov is the ultimate of goodness. They said this is someone that has a great neshama, a great soul. Someone who can come to the ultimate of goodness. See, there's a Gemara that tells us that Moshe was called Tov, and the Torah is called Tov, Ki lekach Tov nasati lochem, and Israel is called Tov. This they saw in Moshe. Second opinion, Rameir says, Tuvia Shimon. Not only did they name him Tov, they named him Tuvia. What does this add to it? Actually, the Maral goes into an explanation in this, in Gvuras Hashem, at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin. Tuvia is, they saw more in him. Tuvia is the combination of Tov and the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem. Because Tuvia is the word Tov, and then the letters Yud and Hey. So they saw, not only was he the ultimate of goodness, but he was someone who had the potential to elevate himself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Third opinion, Hogun Hu Lenevius. They saw that he was capable, he could become capable for prophecy. Now this is a greater elevation. Prophecy is where one can elevate himself in this world to the point where he can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. You should know something, that when we speak of prophecies and communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everyone is capable of. And that happens all of the time. I'll give you an example. The Torah tells us in Parshas Ekev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you're successful and you become wealthy, you shouldn't become arrogant and say that Kechi Eitzim Yodi Oses Kol HaChayel Hazeh, that it was through my own abilities and my own strength that I made all of this wealth. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the Almighty says, I am the one who gave it to you. It's the nature of a man that when he succeeds, he becomes arrogant. And he says, look what I'm capable of doing. And he must remember that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives him this wealth. Now, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him the wealth? So Targum Onkelos says he puts an idea in his head, a good idea, when to buy something or when to sell something. We all wake up with good ideas, and those ideas, a good number of them, those are ideas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting in our heads. That's why when a person is successful in business, it's many times because HaKadosh Baruch Hu directed him how to be successful in business. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads us all of the time. We have to listen. We have to be wise enough to listen. We have to go with our own seichel. We cannot blindly do everything that comes into our heads. Because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu can put things into our heads, other things can come into our heads from other places too. See, that's why we must go with our seichel too, and we must go with the logic that the Almighty imbued us with and the wisdom of the Torah. But everyone is receiving direction from Hashem. So this is all degrees of a nevuah, of a prophecy. But it's not an explicit nevuah. Explicit nevuah, that of the great prophets, is that was they heard clear messages from Hashem. Ko amar Hashem, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what the Almighty has said to me. So this is a great elevation. By Moshe, it was the greatest elevation. Because, as quoted before, the Torah testified that there was no prophet that knew Hashem ponim el ponim, that spoke to Hashem face to face. All the other prophets, they would have a dream or a message would come to them, but they couldn't go to Hashem and speak to him face to face like Ish al Rehu, one to his fellow man, a two-way conversation. Ask a question, get an answer. Only Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Bnei Slavkot, the daughters of Slavkot, came and they asked a query about the inheriting of the land, so Moshe said, "Im duveshma, I'll go to the Olmeid, I'll go to the sanctuary and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'll say only Moshe could do that." That's what it means. When he spoke, he knew Hashem ponim el ponim. And this was the aspaklaria, the meiro. When he saw Hashem, it was like through a clear glass. And they saw this Hogun Lenevius. This is what they saw in him. Then another opinion in the Medrash, Noled Mohul. He was born circumcised. Now this is something which is above the level of the physical world. So this was a further level. And then this Male called Habayis Ora, that the entire house filled with light. Light always represents something which is nivdal min hagashmi, which is separated from that which is physical, because light is something which lacks almost anything, almost totally it lacks something physical. This is what the Torah tells us about the birth of Moshe. Incidentally, the Vilna Gaon writes in the Sefer HaDeres Eliyahu, at the end of the Sefer Torah, he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu represented the Truma of the world. We have a mitzvah we have crops, grain, or we have wine or oil. We give a certain percentage to the Kohanim. We set it aside. And that becomes Kodush. That becomes more sanctified. And in turn, that portion sanctifies all of the rest. Moshe was the part of the world which was set aside to be sanctified. His life was the sanctity of the entire world. And he writes, how many years did he live? 120 years. And how many years is the world? 6,000 years. Bara tells us, Sheis Alfei Shona. world is destined to be 6,000 years. 120 of 6,000 is 2%. 1% would be 60. So 120 years is 2%. 2% is Shir Hamishim. 2% is a 50th. That's the Shir Truma. The amount of Truma that one has to give on his crops is a Shir Hamishim, a 50th percent. So the years of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, these were the years that were separated from all of the years of creation in order that this portion should be sanctified and through this give sanctity to the rest of the world. So this is Moshe, the individual we're dealing with. It's very important to know this because our entire prophecy of Torah comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is why we are not allowed to accept any opinion whatsoever that will contradict the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Torah testifies that there will never be a prophet greater than Moshe. Therefore, if another prophet will stand up and he'll contradict what states in the Torah, then you should know for sure he's a Novi Sheker. See, he's a false prophet. The Torah continues to tell us that after they concealed him and they put him in a basket and they put him in the Nile River, and then the daughter of Pare came along. The daughter of Pare came along and she saw the basket and she took, opened the basket and she said, Miyalde Ivrimze, this must be from the children of the Hebrews. And then Miriam came and Miriam said, give him to me and I will find someone to nurse him. Medrash tells us that he wouldn't nurse from Pare, from the daughter of Pare, or from any Egyptian he wouldn't nurse. The Medrash asks why not? Okay. Mora says, Medrash brings, one is permitted to bring a non-Jewish nurse to nurse a Jewish child. So why won't Moshe nurse from such a woman? He refused, instinctively. Because Pesha Osig Ledaber im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the mouth that was going to speak with Hashem. Again, he wasn't just a prophet that received from Hashem, he spoke with Hashem. Pesha Osig Ledaber im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mouth that was destined to speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would not take milk from any Egyptian. So they had to bring him not knowingly to his mother. And then it states, Vayigdal hayelet, when the child grew up, Vativiyeu levas Pare, they brought her back, they brought him back to the daughter of Pare, Vayilo levein, and he was to her like a son. Vatikrosh mei Moshe, and she called him by the name of Moshe. Vatomer ki minamayim mishisil. Moshe comes from the word to be drawn out of the water. Now, a few points here. Firstly, you should know that the daughter of Pare, by taking in this child, was risking her life. Medrash tells us in Oskov Zayin that she was rebuked by her maidservants. Omru lei, Giviroseinu, they said, our mistress, Minhoge Shalaylam, Melach Gezik Zere, Vecholaylam, Enam Mekayim in Esai, Ubonne Vemedeveso Mekayim in Esai. Ate veres al mitzvahs avicha. Avich? Says, it's the way of the world when a king makes a decree, even if the people refuse to listen to it, that at least his own household listens to it. And here your father made a decree that kol habein hayelod ayorit hashtashlichu, that every male child that's born should be thrown into the river and killed, and here you are his own daughter and you're refusing to listen to it? And she was walking a very dangerous path, because Pare was the mighty monarch. So she was risking her life by taking in this child. Then the Medrash goes further. The Medrash says, Chomdal Echeidish and Nikose, the mother of Meshe kept him for 24 months. Then she brought him to Pare. And he said, Bas Pare min Ashekes umichabekes umichaveves eso. Ezekiel hubeno. The daughter of Pare would kiss him and hug him and endear him as if he was her own son. And she never let him out of his sight, and she never let him out of the palace. And because he was so beautiful, everybody in the court wanted to see him. And whoever saw him couldn't take their eyes off of him. And even Pare was menashke or mechabke. And even Pare would kiss him and hug him. This is how beautiful and lovable he was. Then the Medrash brings the well-known story that when he used to play on Paro's lap, Natal kisrei shel Pare or mesim al reisha, he used to take the crown off of Pare's head and put it on his own head. Well, at first it was a joke, but when he kept doing it, so there was concern. Now the real reason is, the Medrash says, is because there was a right to be concerned, like he was going to do. Meshe was to become the master over Pare, just like Yosef. Whatever happened to Yosef was a mini world as to what was happened to Klal Yisrael. Yosef was exiled, Klal Yisrael were exiled. Yosef was a stranger, they became strangers. Yosef was enslaved in the house of Potiphar, they became enslaved. Yosef was afflicted in the dungeon, they became afflicted. Yosef became a king, they became a king. Yosef became a master over Pare, it states. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota that the people, the advisors to Pare, didn't want Yosef to become a king, and they said, how can he become a king? He says that a mighty king of Egypt has to know all of the 70 languages of the world. Let's test him to see if he knows the languages. That night the Malach came, the angel, I forgot if it was Raphael or Gavriel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malach and taught him all 70 languages. So the next morning when they tested him, he knew. Then secretly, privately, he told Pare that I know another language that you don't know. I know the Hebrew language. Pare knew the 70 languages, but not Lashon HaKodesh, not Hebrew. So Pare made him swear that you'll never tell my people this. Otherwise, they'll take the crown from me and give it to you. So he always held Pare by the collar, because he always had this over Pare. He eventually became a master over Pare. And eventually he took all of the wealth of Egypt, and this is what was to happen to the children. Moshe would become the master over Pare. When? The night of Pesach. The Chatzes HaLaila, at midnight, Pare would come running out and begging mercy for Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him to go. And Moshe would say, no, we're not going, we're not leaving till dawn. So the fact that he took the crown off, I mean, this was a sign. But they weren't sure. And they were concerned. His wise men were concerned. And then the Medrash brings the famous story, well-known story, that Yisro was one of the members of the court, and they wanted to, some of his wise men wanted to say, kill the boy. And he said, no, he doesn't know what's happening. He says, test him. Give him some gold and give him some coal and see what he takes. And he was going to take the gold instead of the coal. And the angel came and made him took the coal and he put it in his mouth. And this is how he burnt his mouth. But then, and he showed the people that it was nothing. But Medrash tells us something else. What do we see here? It says, V'chein bas pare megadeles. The one that was going to take the crown from he who was enslaving Israel was being brought up in his own house, and he was brought up by his own daughter, Baspare Migadeles Misho Osi Lifromi Oviho. This is somewhat of an irony. The greatest enemy that Pare had to fear was growing up in his own palace, in his own home, and being brought up by his own daughter, and from there he would come out of the palace and destroy him. This is somewhat of an irony. So the Medrash tells us, this is also true by the Melech HaMashiach. This is also true by the Melech HaMashiach, the descendant of David HaMelech, that will come to redeem us. It states, it brings a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu Perekhov Zayin is written, pasuk Yud. Shom yire egel v'shom yirbots. The calf grazes in the land of the enemy, and there it lays down v'chilos ifeho, and there it will destroy it. That the Melech HaMashiach that is, will come to redeem us from the Golus, the exile, and the Shibud Malchias, and all of the sovereignties which rule over us. Where will he grow up? He will grow up in the palace of our greatest enemies. And there he will come out to destroy the palace. Just like Moshe grew up in the palace of Parai and was brought up by his own daughter, and there he took the crown off the head of Pare. I recall once, many years ago, it was in 1972, I was in Eretz Yisrael, together with my Rebbetzin and family, and there we met Reb David Lifshitz. He should be well. Reb David Lifshitz was in Europe, he was known as the Tzu Volker Rav, very great Rav, and later became Rosh Hashiva in New York, Shivas Rebitzka Chochonim. We met him. We were on our way to South Africa. So he befriended us very, very much. And he said that Saturday night they were making a Malav Malk in his honor. He had come to Eretz Yisrael for Ezra's Torah. Ezra's Torah is a fund, great Stoker fund, and it was doing a project in Eretz Yisrael. They were building homes in Eretz Yisrael, a whole section in Yerushalayim, homes for Talmidei Chachomim and other people in need. So he says they're making a Malava Malka there, and he would like, we should come. So we came, and there were a great number of Gedalim there. There was the late Rav Unterman there, Zichreinu Levracha, who was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. There was Rav Zolter Zichreinu Levracha, who was the rabbi of Yerushalayim. So I remember when Rav David Lifshitz was speaking, so evidently he had a reason for doing it, but he rebuked the people in the audience who were from Yerushalayim. He said that your attitude towards the Jews of the exile is not proper. Evidently he saw that they did not have the proper attitude towards Jews in the Golos. And he says, your attitude is not proper. You have to have great respect for the Golos and great respect for the Jews of the Golos. He says, the Melech HaMashiach that will come to redeem all of Klal Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh and rebuild that, take Eretz Yisrael back and rebuild it all, he says, he will not come from Yerushalayim. He will come from the Golos. You quoted this Medrash and the Medrash and the Gemaras that speak about it. That time Russia was behind the Iron Curtain. He said he could be in Russia growing up, so therefore he said one has to have very great respect for the Golos and for the Jews of the Golos. Now the Medrash goes further. Vatikrash me Meisha. She called him Meisha. Mikana talomot shori shel im lechasodim. From here, we see the great reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to those who do chesed. Afal pisha harbe shemes hoyel el Meisha. Meisha had many names, like we quoted before. Tov, Tuvia. He had good names. And they were given to him by his parents. Still, a nikva leishem b'chayla k'mesh k'rosim b'itcha baspare. But still, his name in the whole Torah. We don't find anywhere in the Torah that Meisha should be called by his other names. He's only called by Moshe. And who gave him this name? This was b'itcha. See, the daughter of Pare was later to convert. And she, her name would be called, would be b'itcha. And the name that she gave to Meisha, this is the name that he was called by in the entire Torah. Vaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo kora b'shem acher. Vayikra Hashem al Meisha. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him, he called him by this name. So we see the greatness of the reward of Gemilas Kasodim. We also see here how important it is to repay for a chesed. When someone does something good for you, then you have to repay him. And this is the mid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe was saved by the daughter of Parai, and she gave him this his name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, look, that name we'll forget about. That name was given to him by an Egyptian. See, let's forget about that. We'll call him by his Yiddish name. See, the name that his parents gave him. No. He said she saved his life. And she brought him up as a son, her own son. And not only that, she risked her own life doing it. Then this will be his name forever. In the whole Torah, the Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korokei. And I also will call him by that name. Mikan, from here we learn the great reward of the Gemlei Chasodim and the great responsibility to repay someone that did a chesed, that did something good for you. This is the midah, the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another medrash. The medrash tells us that at a later stage, when the daughter of Pare saw Meisha come back to Egypt, and he then was the great leader, and this was her son, she decided she would be Megayim, she would convert. So when Klal Yisrael went out, she went out with them. Now her name became Bicho. Where did she get that name from? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you gave my son a name then I and you brought up my son, and you considered my son your son, then I consider you my daughter. And the name Bicho means Basko. See, the daughter of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave her that name. We had the we mentioned on Shabbos that it states that when the wise men and the astrologers of Pare, they foresaw that on a certain day the Ge'el, the Redeemer, will be born. But it states they could not perceive whether he's from Israel, the Hebrews, or from the Egyptians. Therefore, on that day, Pare said, Vayeme Pare el Amoy, he said to his own nation, that every male child must be killed, must be thrown into the river, be it a Hebrew, be it an Egyptian, because they weren't sure where the Redeemer will come from. So the question is asked, if they were clever enough to know that he was going to be born that day, and it was on the spot, he was born that day, why weren't they clever enough to know where he came from? So Shabbos we mentioned an answer from the tells the Rosh Hashiva, Rebbe Yemeir Zecher Tzadik Livracha, it's actually his yahrzeit tonight. This was the Rosh Hashiva who was in the forefront of transplanting Tells the Yeshiva to America. And he brings the answer from the Kassam Sefer that the reason why they didn't know is because since the daughter of Pare was to bring him up, so therefore he was to be considered a son of the daughter of Pare. So therefore the signals were getting mixed up. They couldn't tell if he was a Hebrew or an Egyptian. And this teretz also, this answer also is in the Maral. And the Maral brings on this from Divrei Hayomim. And Divrei Hayomim Perek Aleph, Pasuk Divrei Aleph, Perek Dalet. Stairs ve'elu b'nei Bisho, Bas Pare, Abigdur, Abisuche. These are the children of Bisho of Pare. It says a few names, and the Chazal say Kulam al Shem Meisha. This all refers to Meisha. Meisha was reckoned as his son. See? And the Gemara says, what happened to Bas Pare? So this is why they couldn't understand where he would be born. And ultimately, she married Kolev ben Yefuna, and she went out of Egypt together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Now it states further, Vayihi bayomi mahem, Vayigdal meisha veyetze elecho, Vayar besiv leisom, Vayar ish mitzri make ish ibri me'echov. Moshe grew up. Now this is the second time. First it says he grew up and they brought him to the daughter of Pare. Now it says he grew up again. And he went out to see his brothers and to see their burdens and their problems. And he saw an Egyptian hitting a Hebrew, and he became angry and he killed the Egyptian. He went out a second day and there were two Jews fighting. And he said to one, what are you striking the other for? And this was Dothan Maviram, and they say, who made you as a Sarvi Shefet? Who made you as a ruler over us, and so forth? And he realized that it became known that he had killed this Egyptian. And eventually it came to Pare's ears, and Pare tried to kill him, and Meisha had to run away. Now, the Midrash tells us, he was 20 years old. Here in the Midrash in Lamed Beis. Ben Chof Shono Hoya Meisha, Yesha Min Ben Mem. Actually, two opinions. One opinion is he was 20, and another opinion was he was 40 then. He went out to see his brothers, and the Midrash says like this. These two times that he went out were so dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it in the Sefer Torah. Because, I mean, everybody goes out And not every time somebody goes out, it's written in the Sefer Torah. But these two times that he went out is so dear to the Almighty that he wrote it in the Sefer Torah. Why? Because why was he going out? Why did he go out of the palace? I mean, for sure, there must have been many times he went out. He went away from the palace, Bayar Besivlosom, to make it his business to find out what's happening to his brethren. See, Moshe lived in another world. There was the world of the palace, the world of royalty and of the court, and then there was the world of slaves and affliction and misery. And these two worlds didn't meet. And in order to meet, you had to go out. And this is what it means by Yetze. He decided to go out from the palace and to go out from royalty. To enjoin and to share in the suffering of his brethren. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe was inspecting the troubles of his brethren, ubecha, and he would weep. And he would say, Chavali aleichem miyitein musi aleichem, shein lochom malocha koshim imalecha satit. He says, such misery, what can I do for them? And he would go help. He would see a great burden on a person, he would lend his shoulder. He saw a big burden on a small person and a small burden on a big person, he would sort it out. A big burden on a woman and another burden on a man, he would sort it out. Dargun Miyashiv Lehem. He left his royalty behind him and he went out to share in their misery. But he did it secretly, because Pare would have been against it, so he made it off like he was inspecting for Pare, but secretly he was helping them. Now the question is, what does it mean by Yigdal? It already says by Yigdal. And everybody grows up, so what does it have to tell us by Yigdal? So Ar Medrash doesn't say this interpretation. But the Maral in the Gevuras Hashem brings a Medrash from Yalkut Shemayin, in which Vayigdal, very interesting interpretation in Vayigdal. This is in Perek Yud Ches, Yalkut Shemayin Perek Beis. Mahu Hagdula? What does it mean Vayigdal? Vayotze Alechov. That was the growth. That was the greatness. Vayigdal, it says by Yigdal Meisha. Meisha grew, Meisha became great. The greatness was, isn't that he went out to his brothers. That's the Vayigdal. Lovush Gedula. At that moment, he attained greatness. He wasn't a small person. A small person lives within himself. A small person lives for himself. A small person is self-centered. Moshe had plenty to live for in the palace, in his own world. But by Yigdal Moshe, by Yitzel Echov, from the fact that he could go out to his brethren, Lovush Gedula, he attained a greatness. He was a big person. He was a broad person. His life didn't encompass his own small self. You see all the time you have two types of people. Those people that are constantly worrying only about themselves and only about that which is directly tied to themselves. This is their whole worry in their whole life. You have another type of person that's a broader person. He worries about other things also that are not directly linked to himself. I'm not talking about worrying. He does something about it. You have those who will assume responsibility only for themselves and their immediate circle.
There are others who will assume responsibility for much more. They'll assume responsibility for the community, for their shul, for the institutions of the community, for the people of the community, for people or their brethren in other places in the country, in other places in the world. This is also part of their lives. One is a small nefesh, one has a small soul, can't encompass that much. Another has a broader soul, it can encompass much more than his immediate circle. This is what the Torah is telling us. By Yigdal Moshe, nobody says he grew up. Now, the first time he grew physically, now he grew spiritually. Where was the spiritual growth? By Yetzei al Echov. He couldn't contain himself in his own world. But he had to encompass the tzoras of his brothers, which he easily could have escaped from. And this was a sign of godliness. This was the sign of greatness. This is what greatness is. Nefesh gedola, a soul that is so big that it encompasses expansive. It encompasses great expanses. Now, what happened because of this? Medrash says something very interesting. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ato hinachta askecho v'alachta lirais b'tzarin shel Yisrael v'nihakta ben minig achim. Because you left your own business in the palace and you went out of the palace v'yetze, and to interest yourself and involve yourself in the tzoras of Yisrael, and you acted as a brother to them, so then I will also do that. Amni meiniach es elyonim ves hatachtonim. I will leave my business and I will come to speak to you. Vedabri moch hadol diksi vayara Hashem ki so liris. Roa kodesh baruch hu b'meishes shesor mi asokov liris b'siv leisom. Vayikra elov elakim b'teich hasneh. When Hashem came to speak to Moshe from the burning bush, it states, "Vayar Hashem kisor lirais." What does the story tell us? It says Moshe was taking his sheep into the desert, and he saw a bush was burning, and it wasn't being consumed. So Moshe said, "Let me go see let me go see this phenomenon." So Vayar Hashem kisor lirais. Hashem saw that he was turning to come to see. The simple meaning is, he was turning from the road to come to see the bush. Now the Medrash says, that's not what it means. Vayar Hashem ki saw lirais. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he turned from his palace, to go out from his palace to see in the tzoras of his brothers. Therefore, Hashem said, I will come and speak to Hashem. Hashem called him from the burning bush. You left your world in order to involve yourself in tzoras that was not necessarily yours. I will leave my world and I will involve myself in you. So when Hashem saw that he turned to see, he turned from his palace to go see the people, so Vayikra Hashem El Meshe Mitei Hasneh. Hashem called to Meshe from the burning bush. It was because of this Moshe was Zecha to speak to Hashem in the burning bush. Now there's something very significant about the burning bush. What was significant about that? In the Sefer Torah there are literally hundreds of times when Hashem spoke to Moshe. The whole Sefer Torah, Vayikra, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe. Hundreds of times. Where was the first time that Hashem spoke to Moshe? That was the burning bush. This is the first time that Hashem came to speak to him. What did Moshe do to merit this? Vayar Hashem ki sol yeres. Hashem saw that he was turning away he turned away from the palace to see the tzoras of his brethren. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will also turn away from my palace and come to speak to you. The Maral goes a step further. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the real all-encompassing force. And therefore, he identifies with someone who is an all-encompassing force. Doesn't identify with people or forces that are very limited or very narrow. And therefore, this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able and all of the time ready to identify with Moshe. Because this is what they had in common. They were both all-encompassing forces. Fact is, the Sefer Torah tells us later on, Meisha Shokol Kishishim Rabua. Meisha was equal to the 600,000 of Klal Yisrael. He was so all-encompassing that he encompassed everything that Klal Yisrael had. And we see further, when someone learns Torah, everyone has a specific portion in Torah. It says, V'sein chalkeinu b'seder secho. Give us our portion in the Torah. So everyone has a specific portion. Moshe, in order to bring the Torah into the world, he had to encompass the entire Torah. He brought the entire Torah into the world, not just a portion. So this was Moshe. And this is what he did. From here, from these points that we brought out this evening, we get somewhat of an insight into what kind of person, what kind of giant Moshe Rabbeinu was, and also what does it mean, responsibility and leadership. We see one more point. It states that when he went out, he wept. He couldn't tolerate the injustice that was being done to his brethren. When he went out the second day, he saw one Hebrew hitting another. And he says, Rosho lo masake re'echo, Rosho, you wicked person, why are you striking your brother? He couldn't tolerate that injustice. Then it states a little further that when he ran to Midian, ran away from Paran, he came to Midian, and the seven daughters of Yisro were there, and the shepherds came. There was a whole conflict going on between Yisro and the other people that were there, which we don't have time to go into it now. So the shepherds came by Igorshu, and they chased away the daughters of Midian. And actually, the Medrash brings there what were they doing to the daughters of Midian. So some say that they wanted to harm them physically. Another say that they were molesting them. They wanted to violate them. So it says, Vayoko Moshe Vayoshion. Moshe got up and he saved them. Vayashk Esonam, and he drew out the water for them. So the Medrash says, Yoshev Alein Bedin. Moshe acted as a judge. Now here was something else. In Egypt, that was his land. He was the son of the king. It's his land. Secondly, it was happening to his people, the Hebrews. But now he went to Midian. Midian is another land that had nothing to do with Moshe. He wasn't there on official business. So what is Vayokum Vayoshion? All of a sudden he gets up and he intervenes. So it says, Yoshev Aleihem Bedin, he judged them. He sat in judgment of them. And he saw the injustice and he went and he chased them, the shepherds, away. Now this is a further insight into Moshe. Moshe throughout the Sefer Torah is called Ish Elokim, the man of Hashem. But the name of Hashem that's used is the shame Elokim. Elokim, the Gemara always tells us, is Ubezdin, refers to Din. Moshe was the judge. He was a man of perfect justice. And this is Torah. Isha l'kib. And he couldn't intolerate, he could not tolerate a kilkul hadin, a distortion of justice. This went totally against his nature. And these are the three episodes that the Torah brings. That when he saw the injustice that was happening from that the Egyptians were doing to his people, then he saw an injustice amongst his own people, and then he saw in Midian that the shepherds were molesting the daughters of Israel that had nothing to do with him. And he assumed the responsibility. So from this parsha, see, we see also what does it mean to become involved in the tzoris, see, in the difficulties of one's brethren, and what does it mean to be a person of right and of leadership. These were all the qualities that the Torah tells us, which were the foundation to make Moshe into the greatest prophet of Klal Yisrael and also the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael. These are a few notes on Parsha Shemos, and gives us a foundation into what we mentioned in the beginning was the Golus Mitzrayim, the exile and enslavement in Egypt, and ultimately the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.